We're starting at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots. Gemara is now addressing the conversation that took place or transpired between Rabbi Akiva and Ben Azai. Ben Azai asked Rabbi Akiva, what's the difference between a Yoshe Bebeito and Meshiatzel Derech? Why should there be any difference? And Rabbi Akiva responds to him, of course there's a difference. Someone who's at home has a chance to hear or should have heard about the retraction of Beit Din, where someone who already is Yotzel Derech has no clue what happened. He has no information. So Mar says, Shapir Kamarle Rabbi Akiva Levin Azai. Akiva gives a very strong answer to Ben Azai. It almost makes us wonder, what was the question of Ben Azai in this context? So Gemara says, no, Amarava Echzik Baderach Ikabenayu. Ben Azai also understood that difference. Their question revolves around someone who has begun to leave. Echzik Baderach is someone who has left the house for a long journey, but they are still within the boundaries of the city. They haven't yet left the boundaries of the city, but they're heading on a long journey. The Ben Azai Chayav. Ben Azai is still classified as being in the city, or Yeshe Bebeito, because that's where he is. He's within the perimeter of the city, he's within the city limits, and therefore you should have heard about it. Rabbi Akiva Patur, Daech Zig Baderech. According to Rabbi Akiva, someone who is focused on leaving, on going a long trip, he's Tarut. He's not focused anymore on what's going on in the city, he's focused on what's coming and what's ahead of him. And therefore, even though he's still within the city, he's no longer, from a standpoint of focus, he's no longer a part of the city. And we don't expect of him to get information about the city. He's no longer thinking about the news here, he's thinking about the news up ahead. Gemara now speaks about the next part of the Mishnah, which is Harulo Beitin Lakoret Kol Aguf. The Mishnah gave us examples of what's classified as a mitzvah, Oker Miksata Mitzvah and Kiyem Miksata Mitzvah, in order to be Chayav in Par Halem Dover Shel Tzibur. But if you eliminate Kol Gufa Mitzvah, the entirety of the mitzvah, there is no Par Halem Dover Shel Tzibur. So Mar says, Tan Rabbanan, V'nelam Davar Veloshiaker Amitzvah Kula. So this is the same drasha that was brought in the Mishnah itself, which is Vinelem Davar, something should be missing, but not that you get rid of the whole mitzvah. Now Mar says Ketzad. What's the examples of that? Similar to examples that were brought in our Mishnah, and the Gemara at the end of today's the end of this Amud here will go into more depth about each of these examples. I thought maybe should be chayav if Beit Din paskin on any of these issues. That only if something's missing, not if the entirety of the mitzvah is being eliminated. So therefore, those are patur. Aval amru, yesh nida b'torah, on the other hand, if they paskin, yes, nida does exist. Aval abah shomer yom keneged yom patur, but they eliminate an aspect of nida of shomer yom keneged yom, then they're patur. Yesh shabbat b'torah, they think there is a shabbat, there is isur melachot. Aval amotzim reshut yachid reshut rabim patur, they eliminate one aspect of shabbat, then that is classified as being part of a mitzvah missing, and some of the mitzvah still being there. Also, on the other hand, someone who bows down to Avodah Zarah is patur. Again, you think, maybe they should be patur. So Tamad Lomar v'Ne'alam Davar v'Lo Kol Aguf. This is exactly what we're looking for. Ne'alam Davar, a portion of it's missing, not the whole thing. Samar Mar, Gemara says, what type of Braita is this? The Braita offers up a possibility that you should be Chayav if you eliminate an entire mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, no, it can't be because we have a Pasuk. So then the Gemara says, well, I thought maybe you should be Patur for things that are Miksat and Miksat. The Pasuk says, no, you're Chayav. But in that interim stage, what was the Gemara thinking? What was the Braita thinking? At first it said, no, it can't be the kol mitzvah, gufa mitzvah, because that's eliminated by the pasuk. All right, now, mitzvah mitzvah, yochli hei p'turim, that should also be patur. Then what's chayav? If kol mitzvah is patur, and mitzvah mitzvah is patur, then what would you be chayav? That's what the Gemara says here, Amar. Yochli hei p'turim, these examples of mitzvah mitzvah, yim kim mitzvah mitzvah, bita mitzvah p'turim, ubi kariyat kol guf p'turim, but my chayavim, what's left? What are they going to paskin about that they're chayav? So Mar says, Tana Achi Kakashale. The Tana of the Braita is dealing with a different issue, and that is, Ema Davar Kula Milto Mashma. The word Davar really, in its underlying sense, means an entirety of a Davar. Not a Chelik a Davar, but a whole Davar. So the fact that the drasha is, and it seems the town of the Braita had the drasha, he just wasn't sure how the drasha worked. Because he says, davar sounds like kol davar. That means that, first of all, why is ne'olam davar eliminating the gufa mitzvah when it's missing? And number two is, why does that prove to me that mix of the mitzvah and kiyam mix of mitzvah is considered to be what you bring parlav davar sivtibur? It should be just the opposite. The Gemara says, tamal omar ben'elam davar. So he brings the puzzle, ne'elam davar. Why does that solve your problem? My mashma. Why does ne'elam davar help you? So the town of the Braita said, davar means everything. So he goes, well, it says ben'elam davar, that means bitom b'miksat, kiyam b'miksat. Where does he get that? Where did he make the jump? If davar means everything, then ne'elam davar means that it was missing from him, was missing. So they were bitel kol mitzvah. Where did you make that quantum leap? So Amar Ula, Kari Bey, ne'elam midavar. That ne'elam, it was hidden from him, midavar, a portion of a davar. Now the mem obviously does not exist in the pasuk, and they are goriah mosifim. They're taking the mem off of ne'elam, and they're placing it on the davar. So they're saying ne'elam midavar. Now, truthfully, there's no reason to, from a diktuk standpoint, it's correct. Ne'alam, the mem is a part of the word ne'alam, and there's no reason to put on midavar. Tosus over here mentions what he mentions in other places in Shas, which is that when the Gemara goes ahead, it says goreya and mosif. It says the Gemara has a problem. There's a problem in the pashtuta pasuk. If you read the pashtuta pasuk, it's not clear. There's some problem in the pasuk. In order to solve the problem in the pasuk, Chazal will do goreya mosif. We'll move a letter around. So over here, there was the way the pasuk reads, over here also, Tosu says, it's problematic that anywhere we say, gorim umosifim v'doshim mishum duchukat dekra, diyum gudochik umukim anafshe. That the internal part of the pasuk is problematic. Since the internal pasuk is problematic, let's move the mem here to make it better. What's the problem over here? Michtektiv, achat mikol mitzvot Hashem. The mashma mitzvah shleiman. So the mayhil chata, katov davar. So why would it say ne'alam kol davar? Why is it ne'alam davar? And say achad mikol mitzvot Hashem. Achad mikol mitzvot Hashem sounds like the entire mitzvah is being eliminated. So then what is ne'alam davar? It's the same thing. Davar and achad mikol mitzvot Hashem are synonymous. El al korcha al midrash. Must have come to do with drasha. What is that drasha? Ne'alam midavar. Afilu davar achad min mitzvot. So Tosfos says that's why they were forced. There was a problem in the pasuk. Never they're forced to darshan it. Again, how real the drasha is versus they know that there is a drasha needs to come out of here. So they use goreo mosif as a vehicle for remembering what the drasha is, or whether it's like a real drasha that it's been alam and then midavar that they take the letter and move it, or is this Chazal say we know that it can't mean davar cannot mean kula mitzvah here because we already have achat mikol mitzvot Hashem, so it must mean chelik mina mitzvah. How do I do that? I do goreo mosif to show you that's what I'm doing over here. That's a question in the drasha as a whole. Is what's driving? Is the drasha a result of knowing that we have to fix something? Or is it a real drasha that we move the mem to the midavar and therefore we know either way? But what Tosfos pointing out is that there's a problem in the pasuk, and Chazal, because of that, brought the drasha midavar to tell you that a chelik mina mitzvah is problematic. No, it shouldn't be a filu, because it doesn't work. You're saying by a full mitzvah it won't work. So it's probably a poor choice of words over there. So now the Gemara says, Chizki amar, we're going to have alternatives to this drasha of Gorin and Mosifim, taking the mem and putting him in midavar. Chizki amar. Amar kra, basa achat mikol mitzvot. So he quotes the other, right? The basa achat mikol mitzvot. Mi kol mitzvot, v'lo kol mitzvot. It says achat mi. Right, so here he has the mem built in. Asa mi achat mi kol mitzvot. So it's built in here. That means a portion of the mitzvot. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Mitzvot tarte mashma. Mitzvot is written in the plural. So if I say to you mi kol mitzvot, what does that mean? A portion of multiple mitzvot. That would indicate one mitzvah is a portion of multiple mitzvot. So it would actually imply an entire mitzvah being eliminated. So Amar Nachman b'Yitzchak, mitzvot kitiv. It's only written with one vav. It's written a single vav and not two vavs. If you really wanted to write the plural in the kitiv side of it, that the kri would match, it would be mitzvot with two vavs. The fact that it writes mitzvot with one vav, that means true, the kri is mitzvot. But the kitiv is more like mitzvot. And it's in the singular. Therefore, when we say mikol mitzvot, it's a chelek mi a mitzvah achat. So that's the way you would read it according to Chizkiah. Ravashi Amar, Yalif Davar, Davar mi Zaken Mamre. That you learn out Gzeira Shava or some sort of Hekesh from Zaken Mamre. That we saw in the Gemara and Sedrin. In the Gemara and Sedrin, Sikhl David Zaken Mamre. Kipale Mimcha Davar, Lotasur Mina Davar, Ashir Gidul Chayim Nismol. Ma Mamre Mina Davar, Velo Kol Davar. Same thing by Zaken Mamre. It's not Kol Davar, but Mina Davar. Lotasur Mina Davar, Achelik Mina Mitzvah. Also over here, we're going to learn from Zaken Mamre that it means not an entirety of a mitzvah, but rather a portion of the mitzvah. Now, the Gemara is moving on to another qualification about what Beit Din must paskin about in order to be Chaya Parilam Davashot Tzibur. So far, the only qualification that we got of our Mishnah is that it can't be entirety of a mitzvah, it must be a portion of a mitzvah. This next qualification is very important. It's actually similar to Zaken Mamre as well. Shazamri Yehuda Mashmol, Ein Beit Din Chayavim, Ad Shiyaruba Davar She'in Atztukim Mo'odim Bo. It has to be something that the Tztukim don't agree to. If the Tztukim agree to such halacha and Beit Din paskins against it, it doesn't work. First of all, it doesn't work. And number two is, it's not a paralem davar shem tzibur. It doesn't mechayiv them. Why? But davar shem tukim odim bo pturim. My time, zilkari beiravu. Anything that tzukim agree to is explicit in the Torah. The tzukim only agree to what's found in Torah shebichtav. So it's found in Torah shebichtav, you just say, go to cheder. If you learned chumash, you'd know what's in there. So the beit din paskin against chumash, there's nothing to talk about over here. Of course they're wrong. They can't, number one, you can't rely on that, and number two is, there's no problem davar tzibur for such a thing. That's just a mistaken psak that has no basis whatsoever. It's so obvious that it's a mistaken psak. But if it's something that is tukim ein modim bo, that means already it's a drashat chazal, or a drasha from the Shoshu Semidot. It's a drasha out of the psukim. If that's the case, then if Beit Din paskins, it's not clear. If it's not clear, then we can say about that that they bring a problem davar shem tzibur, or people would rely on them in those instances. It's not. So this is our Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to discuss, wait a minute, the qualifications you just gave were something that the Sukkim ain't modim bo. And then the examples in the Mishnah are all things that were written explicitly in the Torah. So how do we reconcile between those two? It's not. Our Mishnah says about a nida, yesh nida b'Torah, aval abal shomer yom k'neged yom patur. V'amai, shomer yom k'neged yom aktiva. It's written explicitly in the Torah because it says v'safra la, that she has to count those days, or count. What is she counting? She's counting the tara k'neged tsum'a, and shomer yom k'neged yom. That's explicit in the Torah. V'amai, she soferet echad le'echad. That is a one-for-one basis here. D'amrei, Ha'ara Sharia. No, so the Gemara says no. The psak halacha of this Beis Din was that Ha'ara was permitted. Gemar Bia Dehuda Asira. It was only total completion of a Bia that would be Mechayev someone. Other than Ha'ara, just penetration would not be enough, or there's a machlokas. We know wherever the Shas talks about Ha'ara, there's a machlokas, where that means Hachnasa da Tara or just Negia. But either way, the Beit Din Pasan, that's not Chayev. Only Gemar Bia, you're going to be Chayev for Nida. Says Hanamiktiv. That's explicit in the pasuk as well. Et mikora he'era, right? The word he'era or ha'era is actually learnt in nida itself, because it says he'era by nida. So Gemara says, Amrei, no, this was the psak here. Amrei kedarka sira, shelo kedarka sharia. So they say if she did a kedarka, the bia was kedarka, then it was asur. Shelo kedarka, that's mutar. That was their psak halacha against what the halacha is. The halacha is that it doesn't matter whether it's kedarka, shelo kedarka, you're chayav. They say no, kedarka is chayav, shelo kedarka is patur. It says haktiv also, that's explicit in the pasuk. It says mishkevei isha in the plural. So they have mishkevei isha, it's both kedarka, shelo kedarka. Now, so darme, this is what they said. Kedarka sur afilo hera. Bishalo kedarka gemar biyahu da asur, aval hera sharia. The psak halacha here was kedarka is asur even behera. So hera is a problematic only when they have biya kedarka. If they have biya shalo kedarka, then you require a full gemar biya in order to be chayav. Aval hera sharia. But it'll be mutar over there. Gemara says, yoch afilu nidonami. So the Gemara's answer is not enochanami, that this is a davar, that is a limud, enochanami. But the problem is, that doesn't fit well into the Mishnah, because what was the Mishnah's example? The Mishnah's example is a case of shomeret yom keneged yom. If the Mishnah was talking about the difference between kedarka and shlo kedarka, it should have just mentioned nida itself. What are you going to shomeret yom keneged yom? You could have done it in nida itself. In it itself, that's also a drasha. That shalo kedarka, behara, is a mixture of the two things. It's a mixture of the fact that mishkevei isha, plus imikora hera, the two of them together, we learn out that shalo kedarka is chayav behara. So that is a limud from the psukim. That limud would present something tzedukim eni modimbo. That would be fine, in terms of a halachically, but something, but it doesn't fit the Mishnah. It doesn't fit the Mishnah because the Mishnah says, that we're talking about Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. It should have spoken about Nida itself in this instance. Elolam Kedarko, Udamri Hara, Bisha Davahu Dichtiva. No, we're talking about Kedarko, but the term Hara, it's Mikora Hara, is a term that is only used by Nida, but it's not used by Safrala, it's not used by Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. The fact that we extend it Mikora Hera from Nida to Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom, that already is a limud. That limud is something that we're speaking about in this Mishnah, and that's the Psakal. Some of you give a Psakal Ochal, the Stukim Einu Modimbo, and that would be good enough in terms of bringing the Beis Din to bring a parallel Davar Shebet Tzibur. Vibay Teim, another possibility, Damrei Zava Lohavyo. Elo B'Yom Mamei, that there's only Zava is only during the daytime. Dichtiv, Kol Yimei Zava. That only during the daytime, if you see a flow, can you become a Zava. But if you see a flow at night, that won't count towards Ziva, because it says, B'yom Kol Yimei Zava. It only talks about days. So the drusha of nights is Kol Yimei. That's already a drusha, that the Stukim not necessarily Modeimbo. And that would be good enough to cause them to have to bring Parlam Devet Zivah, if they paskin that Ziva only applies during the day and not at night. Many years ago, when I was in university, they used to have the Jews for Jesus go out on campus, and they used to try to recruit people out there. So they'd ask us to go speak to them to use up their time. There were more vulnerable Jews out there. So if we went and spoke with them, then they wouldn't have any time, waste their time with us. They wouldn't have any time for anybody else. So one day, they were trying to convince me, all these things. And I just said to them, I said, he's walking around, he's wearing tzitzis, coming out of his beged. I said, oh wow, these are beautiful tzitzis. Where'd you learn how to make those tzitzis? And he was stuck. Where did he learn how to? They only believe in Torah Shebichtav also. What is it? All it says in the Torah is tzitzit. How do you know what the definition of the word of tzitzit is? How do you know to make it with eight knots and the strings coming down? That's all something that is given to us with Torah Shebaal Peh. Tfilin, same thing. I don't know anything about tefillin except that you have Torah Shebaal Peh. The underlying need for Torah Shebaal Peh is obvious because there are undefined terms in the Torah. If you have undefined terms in the Torah, you were going to require Torah Shebaal Peh. And that's true of the Tzitzukim, that's true of the Jews of Jesus also. I mean, they run into a problem here. They have to have some sort of Torah Shebaal Peh. As you're just saying here, it's clear that they have to have Torah Shebaal Peh. They have to have definition of words, definitions of terms. The only question is, beyond those definitions of terms, do they darshan beyond the definition of those terms? And that's where they come to issue. But they do require Torah Shebaal Peh, which is a big hole in their theology, is that there must be a Torah Shebaal Peh, because otherwise you couldn't understand the Torah. They use the Prushim's understanding of the Torah to explain the Torah Shebichtav that they have. So they are borrowing some things, what they need to define the words in the Torah they take, but what they don't need, then that's Drashat Chazal. So it's important, but what you're pointing out is an important distinction and true.
And it also points to the fact that you really have to know what they hold and what they don't hold, like, because this the Maisa for...
Oh yeah, well, the Maisa in terms of, right, in terms of Parashat Yom Tov Shel Tzibur, it does have the Maisa implications, knowing what the Tzidukim really believe in and don't believe in, right? That is true. Right, so now the Gemara is going to say, all right, we test the Nida, what about Shabbat? Right, it's done. Yes, Shabbat b'Torah. Our Mishnah says that there is Shabbat b'Torah. V'al motzi mishud v'shud patur. V'amai. Otzah aktivo. Otzah is explicit in the Torah. Here it says in our gear, salot tzotzia masami batechem, which is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It should be, al yitzei ish mimkomo b'yom ha-Shabbat, which is the pasuk that we know. That's from the Torah. That's an explicit pasuk that's brought in the Torah, and you can tell that there's no otzah in the Torah. So the Amrei Otsahu the Asurach Nasa Mutar. Say taking out from Mishut Yachid to Yishut Rabim is Asurach Nasa Mishut Rabim to Yishut Yachid. That's already a drasha. So Gemara says Vibay Tema. If you don't like that Otsah, that's Gemara says in other places Otsah and Achnasa are synonymous. They're just two sides of the same coin. So you can learn that out from Otsah anyway. So Vibay Tema the Amrei Otsah. And you could say Achnasah, the question of the gears of Achnasah being here or not. Who does Sira? Moshit Vizorek Shari. Throwing things and passing things, those are mutar, because it said the puzzle they use is Al Yitzei Ish Mimkomo, which means that you leave the location with the item. By Moshit and Zorek, you physically never leave the location. You throw the object, you move the object out of the location, but you yourself never leave the location. So that is already a drasha. That's something that made the Tzukim are not Modeh to, and that would be Mechayev the Beit in Paralam Dover Shabbat Tzibor. What's interesting here, and this is a Rabbeinu Tam in other places in Shas, which is, why does the Torah have a specific pasuk for Otzah? I mean, the Torah asks us Melacha, the Gemara tells us there are 39 Melachot, one of the 39 Melachot is Otzah. The Gemara Chagiga says that Dine Shabbos are like Harim Tuluim B'Seir. They're like a mountain built on top of a hair. Because the only thing we have in the Torah is Malacha, the word Malacha. And out of that we get 39 Malachot, we get massive Masechtot, you know, Shabbos, Beitza, Erevin, we have everything out of these small one to word of Malacha that comes out of the Torah. How come they need a separate pasuk for Otzah all of a sudden? It's one of the 39 Malachot. Why isn't it classified as part of the 39 Malachot? And why does the Gemara intentionally pick on Hotzah here? Why couldn't it? It could have picked on any other melacha. Why is Hotzah the melacha picked? So Rabbeinu Tam says, we just most recently saw it in the beginning of Shavuot. We saw it on the first...
It was the
Shinui in the Chetes. Right. So what you're giving is the symptoms of what the issue is, which Rabbeinu Tam calls melacha gruahi. Because it's a subpar melacha. Hotzah is not a real melacha. Number one, as you said, there's no Shinui in the Chetes. There's no creative... the work that's involved with it. There are a lot of things that we define of what we call malacha that are missing when it comes to hotzah. And because of that, it's called a malacha grua. Because it's a malacha grua, we require additional items. First of all, we require that it has a pasuk. We have a separate pasuk for hotzah. You'd say yishmim komo b'yom ha-shabbat, which may not be referring to hotzah. It might be referring to tchumim. But if you learn that it's referring to hotzah, there is something in the Torah itself that tells us that you have hotzah. On top of that, the Rabbeinu Tam says that by melechet hotzah, we look for chashiva and it was in the Mishkan. That it had to have happened in the Mishkan only for something by hotzah to be chayav. Why by hotzah do we have this demand that it must have been done in the Mishkan? For instance, with Hoshit and Zarek. The Gemara talks about the fact the way that they passed the Krashim from the wagon to wagon, and that's how we learned that out. But why is the Gemara fighting to find something that happened in the Mishkan? By other Melachot, we don't have to find exactly, this was done exactly like this in the Mishkan. Why do we need that by a Toledah of Otzah that we need to find in the Mishkan? Because of this concept of Melacha Grua. So Rabbeinu Tam focuses on, here's another proof, I think, to his position, which is that when the Gemara picked what Melacha they dropped the Melacha of Otzah. Right, because Otzah is the easiest of the Melachot to drop and not think that you've changed anything about Shabbos. Otzah is not something that where you take apart all of the Melachot of Shabbos. It's something that's almost on its own. It has its own definition, its own issue. And if you drop it, you don't feel like anything's changed in Shabbos. Now obviously, because it's written explicitly in the Torah, you can't drop that part of Otzah. You have to drop a subcategory of Otzah, Toledah of Otzah. But nevertheless, the fact that the Gemara went after that Melachot shows or reinforces what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying about Otzah. Well, lav yatzot. Yeah, because there you have a separate lav for havara, right? So that's l'chalik yatzot or l'lav yatzot. Right? But there is a reason that I would say havara is used there for the drusha aspect of it. But now, why is havara unique? I think is because that's a key defining aspect of melechet Shabbat, havara. If you think about anything about fire is such a fundamental part of daily life. To take away havara makes the difference of Shabbos to a weekday is havara. If you take it to the extreme, you have the tzdukim. You have no lights, you have no cooking, you sit in the dark and you have cold food. If you have the balance of chazal, at least you have something. If things are done before Shabbos, it's okay. But you still, havara is such a key element. I could understand why havara would have been picked as a defining factor in melacha or have a separate part of it. But for hotzah, I think it's much harder to say that. Now by avodah zara, yesh avodah kachovim b'torah v'mishtachaveh patur v'amai v'mishtachaveh aktivo. We just did masechet avodah zara. We know that bowing down to avodah zara is explicit pasuk d'ichtiv lo tishtachaveh le'elacher. Can't bow down to other gods. What do you mean? It's not in the Torah. The Stukim even admit to that. Damrei ki asir hashtachavaya kedarka. They don't answer that hashtachavaya when it was done. That's the way to worship this avodah zarah. But shalom kedarka, we learned in Masechet Avodah Zarah that there's certain ways of worshiping, certain avodot that are independent of whether they are the way that you worship the avodah zarah. They're chayav no matter what. Those are ke'in avodat pnim plus hashtachavaya. So shalom kedarka sharia. That's what they say. So they say shalom kedarka pari. If you go to the Pa'or, if you go to Markus and you bow down to them, that you'd be patur, because they don't worship them in that way. That heter is something that Sukkim don't admit to. And therefore, if they did that, they'd be chayav paralam davar shabbatzibor. Yibay teima, damishtachvaya, gufa kedarko ho dasir, titba pshut yadayim vergleim. The only thing that's a sur is if you do real ishtachvaya. What's real ishtachvaya? You bow down with pshut yadayim vergleim. You prostrate yourself there. Hands and legs out. What happens if you just get down on your knees, you bow down, you touch your panim to the ground? Sharia, that would be mutar, because the definition of ishtachvaya is bishud yadayim raglayim. The fact that something less than that ishtachvaya is asur, that's already a drasha. So also that would qualify for something that they eliminated or said it was mutar, that they would be chayav aparim davar shibor for it. Now, the Gemara asks, boy Rav Yosef, Ein charisha b'shabbat mahu. He says there's no such thing as charisha on Shabbat. What's the din over here? Now, the question over here is obviously not about what we just said about hotza'ah, which is if you try to eliminate an entire melacha, that's not what he's saying here. Is this something that Sukkim admit to, don't admit to? That's not his question over here. Rashi points it out, it's the first Rashi. Hach alomi baila the Rav Yosef bedover she'en Sukkim modim. Klal. That's not his question here. Le bitul mixat, the kiyum mixat, kim baila. He's asking about kiyum and mixat and bitul mixat. It seems that the underlying assumption is that the Sukkim understand what the word malacha is. They had also a mesorah about what malacha is, just like we just discussed before, that the Torah just says, lo tasu kol malacha. What's the definition of malacha? We only know that it's mikor parshio to the Mishkan. The Gemara in Shabbos has other drashot, possibly. Tzachim talks about malachat mitzayim. Other things that we have that define what the malacha are in the Torah, it says malacha 39 times. So the different drashot that Chazal bring in order to tell us that there are 39 malachot. But what they are, that's also something that's mesorah. And the Tzukim had to have mesorah also. What's malacha that they're talking about on Shabbos? See, this is something that the Tzukim admit to. This is not the question of Rabbi Yosef over here. His question is simply, is that considered bitul memiksat and kiyum memiksat? When you eliminate an entire malacha, you still think there is lo tasu malacha b'shabbat? There are the malachot that you don't do on Shabbat. Is that the elimination of an entirety of an object? Or is that still called bilta b'miksat, kiyum b'miksat? That's Rav Yosef's question over here. Mi'amrin came into kam, mo'de b'kulo milta, kibitul b'miksat, kiyum b'miksat. I mean, he agrees in Shabbos. He talks about the other malachot in Shabbos. That's bitul miksat, kiyum b'miksat. Odilma came into kam, akrin le'de charisha kol ikar, kakira guftami, since he's eliminating an entire aspect of the mitzvah, that's considered as if you eliminated the whole mitzvah. Tashma, what do you mean? What's the question? This is exactly what we just had in our Mishnah. Yesh nida b'torah v'habal shomer yom keneged yom patur. Just eliminated a whole pit chunk of nida. Shomer yom keneged yom. It says, v'mai, hayakrin l'shomer yom keneged yom kol ikar. You're eliminating it entirely. Amalchah Rabbi Yosef, shomer yom kedamrinin kedashanin. That we just learned before. They didn't eliminate the whole shomer yom keneged yom. They eliminated nighttime clothes. They eliminated rabba shomer yom keneged yom. That's written by nida. Not written in Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. So they didn't eliminate the entirety of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. They eliminated one small piece of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Tashma, Yishabat Patorah, Valam Hotzim, Yishut Yachid, Yishut Erbim, Patur. Here's a great, here's your, exactly what you're asking. You have all the Mochot Shav, they're eliminating Otsah. He says, Amai, Ha'akrin, Otsah, Kolikar. He says, Otam Nami, Kidashanin. Like we learned, what is Kishanin? That's not, we're talking about all of Otsah, we're talking about the Hachnasah, we're talking about Zorek and Moshit. A part of Otsah, but even later Otsah entirely. Tashma, Yishabat Kachumim, Patorah, Vishtakabet Patur. But my Ha'akrin, Lechashtakavaya, Kolikar. You're eliminating totally Yishtachavaya. Amre Yishtachavaya, Nami Kedeshanin, like the way we learned before, that's not the entirety of Yishtachavaya. Either they eliminated non-Pishut Yadayim Regalayim Yishtachavaya, or they eliminated Shalok Kedarka, Yishtachavaya, Shalok Kedarka. So it's also, again, a portion of Yishtachavaya that they eliminated.
So they didn't answer the question.
They didn't answer the question. My leaves it unresolved. Now, by Rabbi Zeira, Ein Shabbat B'Shvi'it Mahu. There's no such thing as Shabbos. You don't have to keep Shabbos and Shvi'it. Now, interesting, the Gemara is going to give a drush over here, but it's amazing, just from a Shkofa standpoint, how the Gemara views Shvi'it and Shabbat. The fact that they are equated is no surprise, because they're both called Shabbat and Shabbat Shabbaton in the Torah, but that there's also, from a Shkofic standpoint, that there is some connection between Shabbat and Shvi'it, almost to the extent that there is actually a Machlokas Tanaim in certain psukim in Sefer Shmot, whether they belong to Shabbos or they belong to Shvi'it. They're not sure. And that's the Gemara's example they're going to bring here to think why you would think that Shabbat doesn't exist on Shvi'it. But that means that there must be a similar purpose or a similar reason for Shabbat and Shvi'it, because you would think about eliminating Shabbat on Shvi'it. But my ta'u, but then what was the mistake they made in this pasuk? It says, "Becharisha bekatzir tishbot." Bezman deikar charisha ika Shabbat. Bezman deleka charisha like a Shabbat. Becharisha katzir. When you have charisha and katzir, then tishbot keep Shabbos. When there is no charisha, when's that? It's on Shvi'it. There's no din of charisha on Shvi'it. Therefore, like a Shabbos, there is no Shabbos on Shvi'it. So that's the so Mar says. Well, if you eliminate Shabbos entirely on Shvi'it, what's the din? Other 6 years they keep Shabbos. It's only this year they don't keep Shabbos. So maybe that's bitul miksat, kiyum miksat. Oh, Dilma came to Akrin le b'shvit ki akirat guf dami. See, they mean for the entire Shvit, that's like they eliminated Shabbos entirely.
They don't have Shabbos.
No, they do. It depends how you learn that pasuk. I mean, that pasuk you don't have to learn. You could just learn that either you can say that's all about Shabbos. Because means these are the malachot you can't do on Shabbos. It's a possibility. Or you can say it's all about Shavuot, and it's nothing to do with Shabbos. The fact that you cross-pollinate them is actually pretty sophisticated. If you compare the two parshiot to actually where they are found, Chashir, Chavish, and Katsir are found, you see between Shavuot and Shabbos, you see that the Gemara was, it's not so far-fetched the way the Gemara learns it about whether it's Shavuot or whether it's Shabbat. It's very interesting to look at. But that's a much more sophisticated view of the Torah. It's not a simplistic reading of what's there. So the Gemara wants to know about that. What's the story when it comes to this? The other interesting point is here, the Gemara says Chavisha. And Chavisha sounds like it's Minat Torah, which is not clear. That happens to be a machloket to be shown in, whether Chavisha and Shavuot, the Isur Chavisha and Shavuot is Minat Torah or not. And it really depends on this pasuk. If you think it's talking about Shabbos, there is no Isur Chavisha that's explicit in the Torah. It's only Butzer, Kutzer, and Zriah, Zomer, that are mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Chavisha is not necessarily mentioned explicitly in the Torah. Elin Kane, you think the Chavish here is the Chavish of Shvi'it. So this is, like, seems the Gemara here, in playing or toying with this drasha, is suggesting that there is Chavisha written about Shvi'it in the Torah. Right. It's the one who thinks that it's talking about Shvi'it is talking about Tosevet Shvi'it. Not talking about Shvi'it itself. Amar Ravina, Tashma, Navi, Shinitna be lakor davar mi divrei Torah, Chayav. Navi who comes to eliminate something in the Torah is Chayav. The Bitul Mixad Ukim Mixvot, Bishibro Mer Patur. The Rishon says you're Patur in that instance. If it's Bitul Mixad Ukim Mixvot, then he's Patur. It's only when he comes to be Oker, an entire davar mina Torah, that a Navi his sheker over here, it sounds like he was a Navi Emet originally, and then he turned to the dark side, and now he wants to eliminate a mitzvah from the Torah, that's why you're going to believe him. If he eliminates an entire mitzvah, then he's chayav. If only that's a partial of a mitzvah, Rabbi Shimon says patur. And the Rashi claims over here that the Chachamim agree with Rabbi Shimon. It's not that they disagree, but who adin the Rabbonon? Uba adat kol chavim, afil amar hayom, uvdao, l'machar, batla, chayav. By what Chachamim, even if he says today worship it, tomorrow don't, which means equivalent to what we have by Shvi'it. Don't keep Shabbat this year, but keep it the other years. It's the same sort of thing. Over there he is Chayav. Over there the Navi is considered to be Chayav. So what do you see from that? You see that that is classified as being Kiyum b'mikzat and Bitum mikzat. And the Torah nevertheless says Chayav. Shema mina, in Shabbat b'Shvi'it, ki b'mitum mikzat b'kiyum mikzat dami shema mina. The fact that this is the by Avodah Kochavim, the example that's given is, do it today, don't do it tomorrow. That's the same thing as saying, don't keep Shabbat this year, but keep it next year. So that, the Torah classifies that according to, or the Brayta classifies that as Bitul Mixat Kiyum B'Mixat. When it's something that is Bitul Kol Guf Kula, then you're Chayav. Modem Mixat, Bitul Mixat, you're Patur. Chutz mi Avodat Kochavim, Avodah Kochavim, even if you do Bitul Mixat and Kiyum B'Mixat, you're still Chayav. Because that's reflecting the last statement by Rabbi Shimon, Afilu, and that's why Rashi says, Hu adin the Rabbon. The Rabbon also agreed to that. Otherwise, you could have just argued that that's only in Rabbi Shimon, maybe. Again, it's not mukhrach to read the Brayta this way. The fact that the Gemara does read it this way shows you how they thought the flow of the Brayta was. You could have just read it that by Avodah Kochavim, Afilu Amar Yom Lovda Machal Batla means you bore both, you're Mevatel Kula. That's what it means, and that's why you're Chayav. Doesn't mean that it's against what Rabbi Shimon says. It's the negative statement against what Rabbi Shimon says, Bitul Mixa. Kim mixes patur, except for Avodah Kochavim. But that's why Chazal read the Brayta, and therefore Shema Mina, in Shabbat B'Shvi'it, is kibitul mix of a kim mix of dummy, and therefore you would be Chayav Parayam Davar Shel Tzibur in that instance. If that's the case, that it also might reflect back on Chavisha, which is that Chavisha might also have that same status, where you take out a piece of the mitzvah, it might be that you could get it from this also. It might be slightly different, because over there you eliminate Chavisha entirely, rather than just having it, you know, Chavisha this year, next year, or today, and not tomorrow. It has a little more extreme form of the question of Shabbat on Shvi'it, as well as by Avodah Zarah, but nevertheless it's possible that you could extend it to there. Alright, new Mishnah. Horu Beitin, v'yada achad mehen shita'u. Beitin gave a psak, and one of those for certain that they made a mistake. V'amar lehem, and he said explicitly, to'im atem, you made a mistake. Or the head of the Beit Din, we'll see what that means in a second, was not there. In all these cases, you don't bring a paralam davar shirutzibur. So why is that? We'll get to that in 1 second, but let's go through each of these items. What's the first item? The bottom item is that someone stands up and says, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're making a mistake. They say, listen, sit down. Your one opinion, the majority says you're wrong, we're paskening against you. So now, why is it that they're patur? Why are they patur over here? Rashi claims over here, and it's a very difficult Rashi says, oh, we just learned in yesterday's daf, that when you have a beitin, you have to have a haskamat kulam. Everybody has to agree. Everybody has to paskin with the Beitin. But the problem with that was the opinion of Rabbi Yonatan. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yonatan yesterday. And in the end we said, Tiyufta, the Rabbi Yonatan, Tiyufta. The Gemara rejected Rabbi Yonatan. Ah, what are you going to say? Okay, they rejected Rabbi Yonatan to the extreme. And he said that even the Talmidim, anybody's present has to agree. Beyond the Sanhedrin Agdola, beyond 71, up to 100 they have to agree. That we rejected Rabbi Yonatan. But we kept the core of Rabbi Yonatan, that the 71 you have to agree. That's very difficult. So Gemara in the end asks, but what do you do with the drasha of Rabbi Yonatan? What do you do with the pasuk? The Gemara there dashing that you need a quorum, you need the full 71 there in order to be chayav. But so the Gemara looks for a different drasha. It doesn't say, oh, we keep a portion of Rabbi Yonatan. Look for a totally new drasha. It's a problem in Rashi. It's not so clear what Rashi meant. The Lecha Mishneh on the Rambam quotes the Rashi and says, I don't understand. He says, I don't understand where Rashi got this from. It seems not from the Gemara that it's not this way. Now, he doesn't offer up an alternative. He leaves it as Vitzar Chiyon. Because then what is the Mishnah talking about? You could argue over here, what's the difference between this and the case before is, in those other cases, either it was Shotek, but over here, where he stands up and says, Toim Atem, that he took a stand and he spoke to them directly and said, Toim Atem, that might be enough to say they should have known better, or that they had more information. In other cases where people take different sides and he doesn't take a strong position and says, you're wrong and you're mistaken, that may be already, that's what we're talking about in the previous somewhat. That's where you don't need everybody to agree. People can disagree. But over here where he takes an explicit statement and says, you're mistaken, maybe that does change the dynamic and we say that you're not chayav in that case. They should have listened to him. Right now, the next one is, Shaleya Muflasho Beitin Sham. Now this brings us to the last drasha. What do we say about the drasha of Rabbi Yonatan? We rejected it because it was a tiyufta, and then we brought a new drasha. What's the new drasha? You need all 71 of the Sanhedrin to be there. Well, if the Muflash of Beitin is not there, you don't have 71 anymore. So what do you mean the Muflash of Beitin is not there? So Rashi's comments over here, he says, no, you have to either say that Ikar Lameimar, that Echad Meim Latzeit, the Derech, Umini Wacher Bim Kamal. That yes, the Muflah of Beitin left, but they appointed someone else in his place. They added someone to the Beitin in the interim. He was on the road. They had to have the Sajin Agdola. They add someone in to fill in while he's gone. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility, Muflah of Beitin is a separate terminology, which is actually a machlok. It's about, is the Muflah of Beitin part of the Beitin? Is the Rosh Yeshiva? Or is the Rosh Beitin? Or is he a separate category, a separate position, which is the Muflah? Shubha Beitin is someone who's considered the Muflah, but he's not necessarily a part of the core Beit Din over here. And that's what Rashi brings the other example, which is the possibility that he was puzzled for a different reason. He was a Mufash of Beit Din, but he couldn't serve in the Beit Din because Rashi quotes over here, Shaloya Roi Lobanim, or Shein Lobanim, which is the next example in the Mishnah. So he wasn't allowed to be on the Beit Din, not because he wasn't Roi, but because Roi in terms of Chokhmah or intellect, was allowed to be on the Beit Din because he had other problems that were posed to him. So therefore he is the Mufash of Beit Din, but he's actually not counted as part of the Beit Din itself. So over here, why is it that we say that it's if he's not there, that it's no good, that the Gemara discussed, but they should, what we said before, they should have learned. They should have learned from him. The fact that they didn't learn from him is a problem. The problems with the resources only come when they make a mistake, even with the Mufla there. If the Mufla's not there, we say they should have called him up. They should have asked him. You know, they didn't ask his advice. They didn't learn from him. So that's not considered to be a problem. Now, the next one is, the next are easy, which is Ayah Chamim Ger Mamzer Unatin, which the Gemara will darshan. The last one is somewhat difficult, which is the Girsa that we have here is Zakein Shelo Ra'ui the Banim. Zakein who's not Ra'ui for Banim. Rashi changes it. O Zakein Shelo the Banim. Rashi says V'Kashuli Bnei Ma'in Ra'ui Lo Ra. Where did they ever come up with this such a problem here? Why is the Zakein Shein Ra'ui the Banim problematic? The implications for the Mishnah is that he has children. He's just no longer able to have children. That he's at the point in time where he no longer can reproduce. He's at a point in time where he has some distance from children. He's a little too old for, you know, to be involved with children. Why is that a problem? That's what Rashi says. Kashli, I don't understand at all. Now Rashi's girsa, if you look in the previous girsa, was, and this is the girsa actually in Ar Gemara in Sanhedrin, in Daf Lamed Vav Lamed Bet in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says two categories. It says, Zakein, she'en lo banim. It's actually two separate categories. A Zakein and Ein Lo Banim are both problematic. So Rashi over here, if you see here, it says in the previous Rashi before Zakein Shein Roi Lo Banim, he says, oh, that he was eliminated. Inami Zakein Shein Lo Banim. It's a Zakein who has no children. Not that he was a Zakein Shein Roi Lo Banim, but he has no children. So if he has no children, then we understand what the problem is, and that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The problem is that Ein Lo Banim, he's an Achzari. Right? He doesn't have the Tzar Gildu Banim. He lacks a certain amount of sympathy, empathy that comes from someone bringing up children, someone has Tzar Gidul Banim, someone has children, has that a relationship. Those things are missing. We don't want something like that in the Sanhedrin Gdola. It's going to din dinei nefashot. But Zaken Shein Roi Lepanim, what's the problem over here? He has children. He doesn't have that issue. So the Rambam in Perusha Mishnayot says the problem is also a problem of Achzari. He's already at the point where he's somewhat removed from children. He's distanced. He's already past the point of bringing up children, past the point of Tzir Gidul Banim. His interactions with children are much more limited now. That brings them to a point of some of Achzariyut when he reaches that age. And therefore, also over here, we don't want him on the Beitiv. So he usurps the reason that's used by Ein Lo Banim or Zakein by themselves. And then he uses that for Zakein, Shein Ra'u Lo Banim. It says it's an issue of Achzariyut over here, issue of sympathy, empathy, the inability to connect with others and to where their positions are, to have mercy on them. And that we don't want someone like that on a sitting on the Senate of Gdol. Not, again, because they're not able or capable, but because of that lacking in their emotional side that we don't want them on the Beit Din. That's what Rashi says, an example of someone who can be a Muflish Beit Din that's not on the Beit Din itself.
It's like a years ago, it's Muflish Beis and Shabbat.
And based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, it would indicate also that there should have been a different Girsa over here. But yet, Rashi says, the next one, so Kain Shein Ra'u Lepanim, he says cautiously, so it's clear that he had the Girsa that we have, and even though in the previous, he brought the other Girsa, that's what it seems like. So, there is a problem with the Girsa. How you reconcile them depends on what you thought the Girsa should be here, as well as what should have been in Sanhedrin. All of these are patur. Why? Shinemar Kaneida. It says by the pile of David Sibar Eida. Shinemar Lahalan Eida. It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, it says Eida. Eida, Eida, Mural, Alan, Kuan, Ruin, Lo Ra. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were all Ruin, Lo Ra. Afeida, Murakan, that's you, Kulam, Ruin, Lo Ra. They have to all qualify to be Kasher for Hora'ah. So Marz says, "Oh, shalom, I am muflash beit din sham." Me, no one. How do you know if the muflash beit din is not there? That disqualifies the psak in terms of paralam davar shel tzibur. Rav Sheshet, the chayin tana de beirubish. Rav Bina Mamru Horu bedavar shet tukim odim bo pturim. Why is it that if they give psak aloha about something that tukim agreed to that they pturim? Mivnei she'el lo lemo v'lo lamdu. It's basic. You look it up. Sil kari beirav. I mean, this is something that everybody knows. You read the Torah, you'll know this information. These are pretty basic things that you can get out of the Torah. Basic threshold. Lo ayah mufla bebeit din sham, nami pturim. It's the exact same reason. Pnei she'elam lomod, v'lo lamdu. Should have learned, and they didn't. The fact that they did not consult with him is already a problem. It's the same way they should have learned and known better when it comes to something that Sukkim agreed to. So to over here, they should have known better. They should have consulted with him. He might have directed them in the right way. He might have put them on the right path. Nemar sham eida, v'nemar kan eida. Ajikulam ruin lo ra. This is a drasha we saw in Sanhedrin. V'ahotam min alan. Had you know over there that the word eida means ruin lo ra. Damar av chis damar kra. Hityatzvu sham imecha. That the 70 zakenim should be with you, Moshe. Imcha. Imcha bedomim lecha. Imcha means similar to you. Means similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mar says, Ema imcha l'shchina. Imcha means l'shchina, which is that they will be with you in terms of having hashrata shchina. They will get hashrata shchina, and they will be in the same location when they get hashrata shchina. They won't be allowed to go lifnayim lifnim. They also have to stand outside in the old moed and have the shchina come to them and speak to them. So they'll be imcha l'shchina means that they'll stand with you alongside of you with the shchina. That can either be taken literally, they'll stand next to you. When it comes to the shchina, they're not allowed in more, and the Rashi gives that interpretation. Or imcha means figuratively, they'll stand with you. Standing with you means that they will also have ruach. They also have nevuah. They'll be able to help out and pitch in.
Higher level than what we were demanding before.
Well, it's not a demand. It's just that it's a reality. Imchal Shchina is just pashtut pasuk. What does it mean that they will be with you? They will be with you. That they will get hashrata shchina, which is what happens in the psukim. That by yatzel min haruach hashalach, they're going to take from your ruach and put on them. I don't think that here they're looking at it as a drusha standpoint or as a definition of who they are. It's rather, that's what's going to happen. It's the reality of what's going to happen. The Shekhinah will be sure on these individuals. Now this is not the same, not from Bamidbar, but the first pasuk of Bamidbar is actually from Shmot, when it's talking about Yitro. It says, they will carry the burden alongside with you, or with you. What does it mean, Yitcha? Yitcha means, b'domim lecha. They have to be equivalent to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, those that are ra'uim lehora'ah, in order to serve in this Sanhedrin. And as Rashi says here, we must be talking about the Sanhedrin of Gdola over here, because the Eidam Urakan, Kulan Ru'uin Lahorash, Ma'inim Mina, Nami Dainu Sanhedrin Gdola. We also figure out that this means talking about the Sanhedrin Gdola. Titan Ya Abitoat Kwanim, Adat Israel, Eidam Yuchedet Israel. Adat Israel means the Eidah that is particular or special to Israel. Vezuzu, which is the most special Eidah in Israel? That's the Sanhedrin Gdola. It's not any Beit Din. It's not any Eida. Eida can be referring to any Beis Din. So over here, the Rashi says, oh, there's the additional drush of Eida Miuchedet. So Eidam Yuchedet teaches me that these qualifications are not just for any Eidah, but for the, we're talking about here, the Sanhedrin Gedola. Right, next Mishnah. Oru Beitin Shogigim. Ve'asu kol ha'gal shogigim. The Beitin made a mistake, b'shogeg, about their p'sak halacha. Ve'asu kol ha'gal shogigim. And then the gal, based on their p'sak halacha, were shogigim. That's the classic case of mevin par elam davar shel tzibur. That's it. Mevin par in that case. Mezidin. If the Beitin were mezid, v'asu shogigim. And on the other hand, the people who followed them were shogigim. They were mistaken. Mevin kizbab sira. Each one brings their own individual chatat over here because Beit Din did it intentionally. They didn't make a mistake. It's not v'nei alam v'nei aida. There was no mistake. They didn't forget something. They did it intentionally. That doesn't qualify for alam devar shel betzibur. If there's no problem devar shel betzibur, you can't have be patur from kizba and sira. Shogugim. If Beit Din were shogugim, basu mezidin. On the other hand, the people who actually violated the yisurim did it intentionally. Harelu p'turim. They're patur from both sides. They're patur from Embar Elam Dover Shel Tzibur because they don't qualify for a problem. They were not totally in Beit Din. They did it intentionally. They knew it was wrong and they did it anyway. So they're patur from Embar Elam Dover Shel Tzibur. It doesn't help them or they don't count towards the majority. They're also patur themselves because they're Mezidim. You only bring a personal korban, but Shogeg. You don't bring a personal korban, Mezidim. So they're patur in the sense that they can't get kapara. The problem Shel Tzibur doesn't work for them, neither does they Kizba and Sirat. They're patur the gamrin. Rashi makes a statement over here, the Mezid Lab Bar Korbanu is a little difficult based on yesterday, we had towards the end of yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Shimon Omer, that Lo Nitna Hora'a El Avchin Ben Shogeg the Mezid. Most of the Rishonim over there learn Shogeg and Mezid not to be referring to Shogeg means that the person who did it wrong and was told at the Beit Din, he's called a Shogeg. Someone was told about Smod, he's a Mezid, meaning that he no longer is classified being told at the Beit Din, he's responsible for his own actions. That's the way others read it. But Rashi read it yesterday, which is somewhat difficult given the Gemara that we have today, which is that Shogeg is someone who did it on his own volition. Mezid is someone who followed Beit Din. He did it intentionally. He meant to do this because he was following the Pesach of Beit Din, therefore he intended to do it. He wasn't doing it by mistake. He knew that he was doing this, but he did it al smach Beit Din. So Rashi over there reads that, and I'll read you the words of Rashi. He says that v'zeh harei omer lanu shelo yadash chazru. They didn't know that Beit Din retracted the statement. Umezid asal pihem. He intentionally did it on their fames. V'lo ashikigat that small. Not on a mistake of his own. V'yachid she'asab orat Beit Din patur. So it's mezid ma'aseh al tliya al Beit Din. So Rashi over there calls it mezid. And Rashi over here explicitly says that if you're mezid, and it's the mission itself, but Rashi goes out of his way and he says it over here, mezid la bar karbanu. Even though he called somebody who was told in Beit Din yesterday a mezid, over here he's calling it out. It's a mezid, they can't be included. So the definition for mezid yesterday was someone who was told in Beit Din as mezid amaseh. Over here he's saying the definition of mezid is someone who did it without being told on Beit Din. So it's somewhat of an inconsistency in the Rashi. I didn't see anybody who addressed it, but just interesting to note that difference in Rashi. The other Rishonim learned mezid to be over there. Someone who's not told in Beit Din, it fits perfectly with our mission over here. Shogegim vasu mezidim. The case where the Beit Din was shogeg and the people are mezidim. Harielu pturim. They are patur. Ha shogeg dum yud mezid chayav. A case that is a shogeg, which is similar to a mezid, is chayav. What's that? Beichidami. What's the case of a shogeg dumi de mezid? Shoru Beit Din shechelev mutar. They went ahead and said chelev is mutar. Vinit chalef lo b'shuman. His problem was not that the chelev was mutar de Beit Din. He had a problem because he got it mixed up. A piece of shuman and chelev got mixed up together. And then he went ahead and ate the chelev. So he has to bring a chatat over there. He's a shogeg, so he brings a chatat for eating the chalev over here. But the reason he ate the chalev is not because of Beit Din. It's because it got mixed up with the shuman. He intended to eat mutar fats, the shuman, the suet. On the other hand, he ended up eating chalev. He ate chalev not because of the psak Beit Din, and he's supposed to because of psak Beit Din, but he didn't eat it because of Beit Din. He ate it because he got mixed up. So is that included or not? Bachlo. So based on that, then he is chayav. In that case, they are chayav. What is chayav for over here? What does that mean that he is chayav? Does that mean that they are chayav in par medav or sir betzibur? Or does that mean chayav that he's chayav for a personal korban chatat? So Rashi says, over here, nitchalev chalev b'shumun v'achlo, de chayav de toleb atzmohu, de ha'kari lei dumya de mezid. The fact that the bright Mishnah calls, or the bright Gemara calls him Dumiya de Mezid, what's the din of Dumiya de Mezid? He's not done like a Mezid. He made a mistake over here. What is it, Dumiya de Mezid? Mishum dehi hecha de Mezid lav tole bebeitinu. A Mezid is not tole bebeitinu. By the way, this is explicitly against the Rashi from yesterday, who says Mezid is the one who stole the Bebeitin. Here he says Mezid is not told the Bebeitin. So just like a Mezid is not told the Bebeitin, so too, this type of shogeg is not told the Bebeitin. So they're calling him a car of the Mezid, which means that he's not told the Bebeitin. He's not told the Mezidin. That means that they think Chayav means Chayav Kaban Chatat of a Yachid over here. He's not covered by Parallel and Dabashid Tzibor. He's not Mitztarif to the Rov. He is an independent over here. So Mar says, wait, Tishud had the boy Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama had exactly this question on the first Amud of the Masechta. Amr Lacham Mishom the Tanakh. So he says, Bari Rami Chama, the first Amud it says, I'll read you the question, Bari Rami Chama, Horu Beitin Shchelib Mutar, Nitchalif Shuman Valchlo, Mahu. What's the din? What do you mean, what's the din? Here you go, you have a diok right out of the Mishnah. I'll tell you what the din is. Mar says, no, Amr Lacham, Rami Bar Chama can say, that's not a good deal, kind of the Mishnah. Why? Mishum the Tana Reisha Mizidin Vasu Shogigim. The first part of the Mishnah says Mizidin Shogigim. Matana Sefer Shogigim Vasu Mizidim. That is a just a parallel language. It's a literary style, not a diuk. They had Mezidin Shogigim, so they did Shogigim Mezidin. But not to come teach you a diuk that Mezidin, but Karol the Mezid is not that way. No, they're just giving you the parallel structure in the Mishnah of the flipping, the Shogig and the Mezid, but don't make any diukim out of it. That's what Rabbi Chama says. Rabbi Chama says, those questions outstanding. I don't have an answer based on this. I don't agree that this necessarily has to be a diuk out of the Mishnah, and therefore I don't have an answer to my question. I want to know what happens in this case where you are a Shogig that's not Toloi and Beitin. Okay, we'll stop over here.